Welcome to the September 20th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Lovell Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is from Psalm 143, and the sermon is entitled, God Help Me, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
Let's go on to what God has in store for us today. And I believe that's a little bit, according to His Word, of what God has in store for each of us individually. Okay, today we're going to look at three separate words, and in doing so, I ask you the question that I ask you every time that I come to this pulpit, and that is this: did you come to church today expecting God to teach you something? Yes, amen, amen. Last night at a wedding reception for Carrie Joy, there were people that said, Pastor Jeffrey, I'm coming tomorrow, and I'm coming expecting God. Man, what can happen when people show up expecting God to work? It's limitless, guys, of what God can do. So today, we show up expecting God to be here to meet us, but also to teach us to twist our arms, to step on our toes, to get us where we need to be in order that we will follow Him faithfully. Today, we come before looking for direction in our lives, and those three words that we are going to look at today are simply these: God, help me. God, help me. Those three words as we look through Scripture. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Psalm 143. Psalm 143 is where we're going to be at today. Those three words we're going to look at very separate, very individual, but we're going to learn that you and I must combine them in order to release a power that comes through prayer to Jesus Christ. And in combining those, they begin an awesome prayer before God. I believe that no matter where you are in your walk with the Lord, that someone here today maybe even needs to begin a walk. But wherever we are in our walk with the Lord, I believe we need the very help and the very hand of God upon our life. So today, we look at a Psalm 143, 12 verses, as David writes. Let's read those together. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands to thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hideth not thy face from me, lest I be like them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And out of the mercy, cut off mine enemies. Destroy all of them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. We ask God's blessing to be upon the reading of His Word this morning. Guys, we open up and we look at a penitential psalm. Now that word's a big word. It simply means this: a psalm that was written here by David asking God for repentance, asking God for help. It's one of seven that you will see through the Psalms. And as David writes it, we're not sure what stage of his life that he's going through, what stage of his life that he's in. But it appears that he is running for his physical life. Now, there are two accounts in Scripture where that could happen, many more in the battles. But the two that come to mind are, first, when King Saul was hunting him down after to take his life. So, 1 Samuel chapter 18 says this: Saul eyed David. I, David. Saul was after David so much so that over 20 times in Scripture, he tries to take his life. He tries to wipe him off of the face of the earth. He tries to kill him. It may have happened then when David writes these words. Or it may have happened when his own son, Absalom, comes after him to kill him. Now, guys, could you even imagine your very own child turning their back, trying to take your life? And that's what David faced. And so today, we are not sure what David's going through, but certainly it could have been one of these two accounts. But we do know this, that David is in a situation that he needs the very hand of God to show up and to show up quick. Because his life hangs in the balance. Now, I want to tell you this morning, I don't know everybody's spiritual situation. But today, if you do not have Christ as Savior, your life hangs in the very balances of eternity. It hangs in the balances of heaven and a hell that is so real that must not be taken lightly. And at the very moment, even a moment that is not planned, your life can be so quickly taken away. It can be gone. And so today, you may sit here and say, Pastor Jeffrey, I'm A-OK. But if you are here without the very Savior in your life, Jesus Christ is a big part of your life, you're not okay. You're not okay. And I want you to listen to these words today as we read them again from David. Psalm 143, look at the first two verses. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness, and enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. Now guys, there is a call from David right here at a very desperate time. And listen, that call could go to so many different directions and so many different places. And I want you to know, guys, you guys are experiencing things right now in your life that is important to you and that is desperate for you and that I may not know about. But let me ask you, where are you directing your prayers? Where are you directing your calls for help? Is it to God or is it to man? And so David directs those calls to an almighty God. One place, one God, one answer. God, help me. Look at verse number one. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Two words. O Lord. Two words. I believe that David cries out, and when he does, I believe those two words rattle the very throne of God. I believe that David hears the cry, that God hears the cry of David, no matter where he is. And with those two words, David chooses the most powerful way to deal with his situation by turning to God. David begins by asking God to hear him and to answer his prayer in faithfulness and righteousness and not in judgment. You know, we look back on David's life and there's so many situations where maybe he slipped up. We see, you know, maybe as David saw Bathsheba, you know, the cries for help from God were not there when he saw a beautiful woman. He leaned on his own decision there, didn't he? I wonder what would have happened if David would have cried out, oh God, help me turn from this. Turn from this. But he chose not to. He chose to pursue a woman, pursue adultery, pursue murder. And for that, I believe, is why he is running here today. But he asked God, in your faithfulness, in your righteousness, hear my prayer. Don't hear me in judgment. Don't listen to me in judgment. I believe he acknowledges, he understands that that is exactly what he deserves. Guys, you and I deserve the very same judgment. It is only by the very grace of God I am here, right here today. Because of God's faithfulness and his righteousness. Nothing that Jeffrey has done on his own. But guys, I want you to understand, how did David know who to call on? I believe it was because from a very young boy he learned to call on God. There's a story of Goliath, and you guys know that story. And I believe in his younger years, as he was facing the giant with no armor, with a sling and five smooth stones, as he stared a man in the eye, a giant in the eye, and he called on God. He says, "You fight me with what? A sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord and the God of the armies of Israel." I believe that in that young year, in those younger years, David knew that he could call on God and God will deliver. Friends, if we do not teach our young people that there is a God and that there is a God to call on, we're leaving a hopeless generation to follow. It is the job of the church. It is the job of parents. It is the job of grandparents, aunts, and uncles to leave the legacy of God Almighty upon those younger people behind them. It is my most God-given job as a parent to teach my two boys to love a Savior and live for a Savior and call on a Savior. And I believe as David remembered those years and he remembered that God answered the prayer and he knew that God would show up and the times that mattered most, he knew where to go. He knew where to call out. He knew he could call on his God. You know, most of the time, we use the very name of God in a couple of different ways. And I want you to know that I teach my teenagers that you use the name of God in two ways. When you're telling somebody about Him and when you're talking to Him. There's no other reason to call on the name of God, even though many people do it in vain. But in doing so, guys, we use God as a last resort. We try everything else and then we say, "Oh, let's try God." I want you to understand God is not a last resort. He wants to be the first option on your list. But here's my question to you now. When is the last time that you truly called on God? That you needed Him and that you needed Him to show up and you knew that He would be there. He's not a helpless option, guys. He's not a helpless prayer just thrown in the air hoping that God will hear it. He is a viable option, and Christians need to understand that. Today, the name God is who it is. He is who He says He would be. And friends, God is all you need, period. Our first word, God, period. That is who you need. Psalm 143, verses 3 through 6. Let's read those. "For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah." Guys, as we see the prayer of a man on a run. And guys, I want you to see this. A man whose life, it seems to me, hangs in the balances. And a man that is so stressed out and so distressed that he needs God now. I want you to know it appears to me that he's running from somebody. But I want you to see where he is running to. It looks like he's on the run from an enemy, but he's running to a Savior. He's going to a Savior. He's crying out to a Savior. There are situations in your life and in my life, guys, where that we choose to turn to a friend or turn to a spouse or to a family member. Guys, you and I need to learn to turn to God. As David writes in verse number 4, his spirit is overwhelmed. So much so that everything he loved is gone. His heart is left deprived. His heart is deserted and abandoned and barren in verse number 4. Everything he lived for, everything he loved is gone. His family right now, gone. His country gone. His armies gone. His worship gone. And probably from a cave, he writes this psalm, and he echoes this prayer out to God, and he begins to think back. He begins to remember that God has done all these things in the past. And he thought of the works of God's hand in his life. And he maybe even recalls that time that we spoke about earlier of facing a giant. The cries of David's soul, simply this: help. Depression, despair, they're sinking in, they're gaining ground, they're closing in, and David cries out, help. And then he remembers God's done this before. God has showed up before. He saved my life before. And he knows that God can help. He knows that God will answer his prayer. And I believe in an act of total surrender, he says, I'm stretching my hands toward you. In doing so, he loses all control of what he has going on in his life, and he is surrendering to the very will of God. Guys, listen, there are some of you here today that just want to throw your hands up and say, I quit. Just do what you want to do. I quit. Maybe with our teenagers, we want something. I quit. No. That's coward. But what Christians do is they stretch out and they reach out and say, God, I'm not quitting. I'm just turning loose of what control I have. I stretch out to you for your help, for your guidance, for your help in this situation. Maybe there's a marriage where you just say, forget about it. God doesn't call you to forget about it. God calls you to work on it, to reach out to him for his help. I think about our church family and how easy it is if you're in a teaching job when nobody shows up. I think about how easy it is for somebody maybe that's called to ministry and you don't know which direction to go. I quit. You know, David could have laid down and died in a cave. But in that cave by himself, he chose to reach out to God. Today, I don't know what you're going through. Struggles at work, struggles with friends, struggles at life, anxiety, depression, struggles in a marriage, bullying at school. Guys, I hear it all. I hear it all. Are you willing to reach out for help? Are you willing to reach out not to a pastor, but to a Savior? God, help. I give up control. Help. Verse number 4, David's heart is barren. Verse number 6, he said his soul is thirsty, just like that thirsty land. You picture a desert place, a deserted place, guys. It's longing for just one drop of water to cool the sands of the desert. It's thirsty. And David says, my soul is thirsty for God. He needs him. He has to have him. He wants God to show up in such a way that God would change his life. You see a little word in the close of verse number 6. Selah. That word simply means, you'll see it over 70 times in the Psalms. Pause and think about this. Pause. It's a pause to think about what you just read. And so as we pause to think about our soul being thirsty as that desert, guys, there are today, I believe, souls that need the help of God. There are lives that need the help of God. There are marriages that need the help of God. There are teenagers and young people that need the help of God. The cries for help. You may not be able to hear them, but God will. But here's the thing. You must be willing to turn it over to him. You've got to be willing to let go of control of what you want and what you want for your life and seek the very will of God as you cry out for help. This morning, is there someone that needs you to say, "Hill"? It could be this small or this big. God will help. The closing verses. I'm not going to read all of them. But verses 7 through 12, I want you to listen to some of the words in which David asked. David asked God to hear me, to cause me to hear, to cause me to know the way, to deliver me, to teach me, to lead me, to quicken me. All those things David asked for. Verse number 7, look at that with me. He says, "Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit fails. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down in the pit." He cries for the very face of God not to turn away from him. Have we ever felt like God wasn't there? Have we ever felt like God, our prayers just went up into an open airspace and just disappeared and nobody heard them? Am I the only one guilty of that? God, where are you? Are you there? And in the moments, David cries, "Don't turn your face from me, God. God, I need you right now." And he believed that God would answer that prayer. He believed that God would deliver him from enemies. He believed that God would touch his life in such a way that it would keep him alive and lead his life in following him. And so this morning I ask you this. What's your prayer to? What do you need? David's prayer wasn't to fix everybody else, but David's prayer was to fix me. Teach me. Lead me. Show me what I need to do. Today, you and I know that we want God to help us. I need God's help. As a father and a dad and a husband, as a worker in the field of machinery, as a machinist, as a pastor, as a youth pastor, please pray for me. I need the very help of God. But I believe that you and I both need that help. Today, we've looked at three words. But in closing, I want to ask you this. Will somebody here, or does somebody here, want to say, "God, help me"? Help me, period. Me, period. Those three words individually, God, help me, are very important. Because when they are placed together, when you remove the periods out, I believe it can begin a powerful prayer of what God will help you do. Real quick, as a congregation, together. Three words. Let's say them. God, help me. Do it again. God, help me. Guys, this week, I want that to be the cry from the depths of your soul for what you need God to do in your life this week. Now today, if you are here and you need a Savior, I want to tell you real quickly this. There is someone who died for you. And his name is Jesus Christ. And by his shed blood and his shed blood alone, he paid the penalty for your sin. And I remember at age 15, kneeling at an altar saying, "God, help me. I don't know what I need, but I need you. I need you to change my life. I need you to forgive me of where I failed you. Of my sins." Little did I know that he'd make a youth pastor out of me. I don't think I'm very good, but I'm sufficient, I hope. But I want you to know this, guys.
daily, this is my cry. God, help me. I want to be who God wants me to be for my family, for my church family, for my teenagers, but more importantly, for my God. Christian, today, if you are here, in an act of obedience, if you want to come and cry out, begin your prayer this week with those three words at an altar or with a pastor, you come. But today, if you need a Savior, if you need the very help and hand of God in your life, I want you to understand that Jesus Christ died for you. Don't let your life hang in the balances as you walk out of this building. Because coming into this building as we leave today, there's going to be a funeral service for a very young man who died so sudden. 20-something years old, gone. I pray that God would help that family. But I pray that God would help me reach young people, reach old people, in the name of Jesus Christ. Today, church, will we say, God, help me? Don't help your neighbor. Don't worry about your wife. Don't worry about your kids. Worry about me. God, help me. Let's shake the foundations of heaven with prayer, calling on the Almighty God this week. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I do not know what's going on in my church family. I do not know who needs a message with three words, God help me. Certainly I can relate to it because I wrote it, because you gave it to me. But God, I do believe that this message was for more people than just me. God, today, I pray that you would touch lives in the strong name of Jesus Christ, who need the very hand of God to show up, just as David did. For those marriages that are shaken, for those relationships that need to be mended, help is there. For the life that needs a Savior, it seems lost, it seems there is no hope. There's help for the one who's lost, and that help comes through Jesus Christ. Help is here. Today, I pray that people throw their hands up in an act of surrender and obedience. Just say, God, help me. During this moment of invitation, I pray you allow your people to come to you, that you hear the prayers in the hearts of our people. God, that you will answer and you will help. Bless us now in this moment of invitation. In Jesus' name.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join them for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call us at 434-946-0555.